It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. My co-host, Veronica Rickert, will be back tomorrow. Coming up on Central Time, 2 years ago, the FDA approved Truvada, the first ever drug to help prevent the transmission of HIV, but people have been slow to start using it. We'll find out why. First, after a lot of speculation, fast food giant Burger King announced today the purchase of Canadian restaurant chain Tim Hortons. The deal would create the third largest quick service restaurant company in the world and tens of billions of dollars in sales. The move also sets the stage for Burger King to move its operations to Canada and save on taxes, using a method called corporate tax inversion. Economists say that's becoming an increasingly popular maneuver. It could have some serious ramifications for the U.S. economy. Here to talk more about tax inversion and how it works is Chris Farrell, senior economics contributor for Marketplace Money. Chris, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, it's good to be here.
Well, at the core of the deal here between Burger King and Tim Hortons, not donut burgers, but this sticky thing called tax inversion. Can you define what that is for us?
So tax inversion is a multinational corporation, and it's taxed here in the U.S., and it has we have a 35% corporate tax rate. And you take over a foreign company, another multinational corporation, you move your headquarters to that foreign company, which might be based in Ireland or in Canada or in England, and you take advantage of their lower tax rate. So often, very little changes. If it's a U.S. company, the U.S. executives still live in the U.S., much of the business may be done in the U.S., but the headquarters has changed, the tax rate has changed, the effective tax rate has changed, and that can free up for a multinational corporation an enormous amount of cash.
Now, from the U.S. perspective, are we losing all of the tax revenue from Burger King or just the stuff they collected overseas that we were previously able to tax or over the border, I should say?
No, we're not. We're not losing everything, and far from it. But what it does for the multinational corporation is, besides just lowering the overall tax rate, you know, taking advantage of the overall tax rate, is there some really perverse incentives built in the U.S. corporate tax system? Which, for example, GE has $57 billion in cash overseas. And as long as it keeps it overseas, it doesn't get taxed. If it brought it back here into the U.S., what we call repatriation, it would be taxed. So if you then move your headquarters to another country, you can take that cash that's over there, and you can kind of shuffle it around the world with a little more freedom. So actually, a lot of this is less to do with the effective tax rate, although that's obviously clear, but there's also just greater freedom of what you can do with your cash flow without worrying so much about U.S. tax rates. And then in terms of what you're doing in the U.S. domestically, you know, you might load up those units up with debt, so you would lower the tax rate that way. So for multinational corporations, they're still going to pay taxes in the U.S. And if their executives are living in the U.S., you know, they're still going to be paying taxes, and their employees are still going to be paying taxes. But from the point of view of the corporation, it liberates cash flow, absolutely, but it also increases their freedom of maneuver with their money.
And are more and more companies doing this now?
So it's been growing. You know, according to Bloomberg, since 1982, there have been 41 of these corporate inversions, you know, moving from the U.S. to a lower tax country, Ireland being a classic example. And there have been about 12, 14 since 2012, so it's really picking up. The pace is truly picking up. Now, in terms of the Burger King Horton, there is a little bit of a gain there. This does seem to be less driven by corporate inversion and more driven by Horton is a really important company in Canada, a big company. And so by making this move, it's going to ease some of the political potential backlash, and you know, regulatory authorities are going to look a little more kindly on them. I think there are still some tax benefits, but it's not huge, which has been the case with some of the pharmaceutical companies.
Interesting. So, what does the U.S. stand to lose for the wider from the wider inversions going on here, not just the Burger King one?
Well, there's just a general fear that this is going to turn into is going to continue. It's going to turn into an ongoing wave, and then we're just losing more and more money in terms of, you know, our overall tax collection. And so, if you look at both sides of the political aisle, there's a general agreement that there's a fundamental problem with our corporate tax system. And so President Obama's proposed a 28% tax rate, and I believe the congressional Republicans have countered with a 25% tax rate. Now, you know, that's just your normal negotiation. Here's the issue, and here's the really big issue here with the U.S., is as you lower that income tax, that corporate tax rate. Mm-hmm. In order to pay for it, you start saying, well, what we have to do is, you know, we got to close these deductions, these credits, you know, these loopholes. Well, once you start doing that, people get very upset, right? I mean, that is just a real problem there. And secondly, as you lower the corporate income tax rate, you then create an incentive for well-off individuals and smaller businesses to become corporations. Rather, what are you going to do about the Schedule C companies, right? There's a lot of Schedule C companies. You tax at the personal income tax rate. The more you create a gap between your high personal income tax rate and your corporate tax rate, the more you have an incentive for people to become corporations, which I guess the Supreme Court has said they already are. But anyway, you have this tax incentive. So it opens up just a can of worms, the details in boy, with this Congress, there's just no way you're going to negotiate a deal.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it's very hard to get any kind of legislation passed. Something like this, where you're in effect squeezing a water balloon, everything you do over here is going to swell up over there.
That's right.
How are you going to get everybody on the same page to do it? Nobody is hopeful, I'm guessing, that something's going to change anytime soon?
Well, the question is, it's kind of an intolerable situation. And the more it happens, the more intolerable it becomes. So there are two strategies that are out there. One is, let's create a moat. Let's just make it harder for companies to do these corporate tax inversions. Now, the problem with that approach is that was done in 2004. And that was supposed to be, there's legislation that was passed, and that was supposed to be the end of corporate tax inversions. Guess what? We're talking about it in 2014. It didn't exactly stop them. It slowed them down for a while. So you can create a moat, but these multinational corporations are very clever. They have global operations. And if it's in their financial interest, they're going to do some maneuvers once they figure out how to get around the moat. The other idea, which is favored by a lot of economists, is what if we got rid of the corporate tax system altogether? We really lowered the corporate tax system. And in return, what you do is you increase the taxes on high-income individuals, or you have a value-added tax. Greg Mankiw of Harvard University has proposed that. Or you substitute for the corporate income tax some sort of carbon tax, because, you know, there's this old adage in the tax system, you know, tax things we don't like and don't tax things we do like. So most of us are worried about climate change, sustainability, the environment, and a carbon tax is a nice way of dealing with that issue, and most of us like to take money home. So maybe we don't tax the corporations as much, but we tax the environment or their environmental impact. So these are the discussions that are going out there. My own guess is we're going to do something like a moat, because you can't do the more fundamental action in Washington, D.C. right now.
One other response, not legislative at all. President Obama has invoked the phrase economic patriotism. We've seen responses already, including one U.S. senator to this Burger King thing, calling for a boycott of the Whopper. Do those sort of bully pulpit sort of responses make any difference?
They make a minor difference. I think that you can't separate morality and the tax system to some extent. The tax system itself is built on notions of fairness, and this seems unfair. And so it adds to the heated rhetoric. I think that they're doing, corporations do what their job is to create goods and services, and, they'll, within certain limits, they'll do a lot of stuff. It adds to the rhetoric. It makes it actually, to my mind, more difficult to pass legislation. But again, because of some of this heated rhetoric, my guess is we're going to embrace some kind of version of a moat, kind of make it a little harder for companies to do this. It's not going to succeed. What will succeed is more fundamental corporate tax reform, and good luck on that one.
Chris, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you.
That was Chris Farrell, senior economics contributor for Marketplace Money. For more coverage on this subject of tax inversion beyond Burger King, make sure to join Kathleen Dunn tomorrow at 1 o'clock.